Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Eats, drinks, scenic views. All right, Charge, I want to get right into it with Christian McCaffrey. Those owners, including myself, have been waiting a long time for maybe this weekend. What are you kind of hearing? What's the feel on how to approach this thing as it sits on a Thursday?
I wish I had some non-public information about this. We have no idea where McCaffrey really is in his discovery or recovery. It's, you know, clearly he's close, or they, you know, they wouldn't have activated him. But is he at 100% or 90 or 80? And we don't know what kind of workload he's going to get in his first game back. Is it 5 carries or is it 20 carries? There's so many variables here. It would only make sense that McCaffrey's on a snap count, particularly since Jordan Mason has been damn good, averaging 5.1 yards per carry. I mean, you can't ask for a lot better productivity than what Jordan Mason has given you. Pretty positive matchup against Tampa. They rank 28th in yards per carry. The tricky part is, Drew, Alex, you've been waiting 10 weeks to put Christian McCaffrey in your lineup, right? You finally activated him from IR. And you're like, oh, thank God. Do you have the steely nerves to leave him on your bench in his first game back? I don't think anybody's going to do it. But if rationally, it would make sense for them to really ease him into the game. But based on what we know right now, which is basically nothing, it's a high-risk play for Christian McCaffrey.
At this point of the season, with Dak Prescott going on IR, the Cowboys players are just off limits, right, Charge?
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. So now, if CeeDee Lamb were at full health, that would be one thing. But he's got an AC joint injury, and as we saw with Jordan Mason, with his AC joint injury, which he aggravated twice, it's easy to re-injure that. So Cooper Rush is your new quarterback. He's got all the passing dynamics of Christian Ponder. When he had to start 2 years ago, he had to play 5 games for the Cowboys 2 years ago. He averaged 191 passing yards, 1 touchdown. And in those games, he actually targeted Lamb, and Lamb was an okay fantasy producer on those games. But back 2 years ago, Dallas had Zeke and Pollard that were running crazy that year, you'll remember. And the running game had all of this balance that helped the passing game. This year, the running game is the worst in the league for Dallas. So I just don't think there's any balance here. Cooper Rush isn't good, and I think you're benching all your Cowboys, even CeeDee Lamb, if he's able to go in this one.
We're talking to Paul Charchin of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com each and every Thursday, getting you set for fantasy football. Out in Carolina, Jonathan Brooks going to make his debut for the Panthers. He's been obviously on the pup list for the entire season. This one's interesting for me too as well, because I don't normally talk about a personal fantasy football league because usually people don't care, but there was a trade that went down this morning that I'm a little upset about in our league. It's a keeper league. Third best team in the league made a trade with the worst team in the league, okay? The third best team is getting Jahmyr Gibbs. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a big get.
Yeah. And the team that is in dead last, that maybe you would say, oh, they're just trying to get keepers, is getting Rashee Rice and Jonathan Brooks. And I about lost it this morning in our group chat.
Yeah. Well, okay. Rashee Rice is good. I mean, I can understand the thinking. Rashee Rice is done for this year. See, so you'll have a good receiver next year.
And the first six next year, possibly.
Well, you know, it's not a great trade. I don't think it's as bad as you think it is, but it's certainly going to help that third place team. And God bless him for being active, making his team better, finding a deal that some team that's tanking would be willing to take. And I don't know if you saw this. This is just new news from this morning. Chuba Hubbard just got a 4-year, $33 million extension this morning.
Oh, four years. Oh, well, that ticks me off even more. Then that means Jonathan Brooks isn't even.
Right. Jonathan Brooks is not even the lock starter going forward anymore. And Hubbard's been great. Hubbard has been great. Now, so get this, by the way. So Hubbard is now the sixth highest paid runner, one spot ahead of his backup, Miles Sanders, who's the seventh highest paid runner.
Oh, my goodness.
So the team's doling out. They're sitting on $80 million of running back contracts right now, which is absurd. Anyway, Hubbard's been awesome, and I don't see – he's fifth in rushing yards. He's fifth in yards per carry. He's seventh in rushing yards over expectation. And Brooks – you know, all of that means that Brooks can come back very, very slowly. They don't need him on the field, and I expect to see – don't expect him to be a major part of this offense all season, and especially not this weekend in Germany.
Thursday night football, my Bengals, Charge taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Isaiah Likely is out for this one. Do you risk starting Mark Andrews, who's been a little bit up and down this season?
Yeah, this question gets a lot more interesting with Isaiah Likely out, because normally Mark Andrews is totally touchdown dependent because of his low volume. When he scores, Mark Andrews averages tight end 8. When he doesn't score, he averages tight end 31. Disaster. But with Likely out, that frees up 20 routes and 4 targets per game for Mark Andrews. So it feels a lot more plausible. The Bengals have been a bad tight end defense. They've given up 5 tight end touchdowns in the past 5 games, including when these teams met in week 5, 3 tight end touchdowns to the Ravens in that game. So yeah, let's go with Mark Andrews in this one. He hasn't been a safe play all year. This feels like the safest start yet.
I know I'm going to ask you about DeAndre Hopkins here in a little bit, but another receiver that got traded, of course, was Deontay Johnson from Carolina over to Baltimore. Yeah. Nothing really right out of the gate. Zay Flowers had the huge game for Baltimore against Denver. Where are you at on Deontay Johnson right now in terms of being able to start him?
Yeah, lukewarm tonight. You know, the good news is we've seen a big uptick in playing time and productivity for other wide receivers in their second game with their new team, like DeAndre Hopkins, who went nuts in his second game for Kansas City. Amari Cooper doubled his snaps and routes in his second game in Buffalo. And Cincinnati's just a middle-of-the-pack secondary. Jacoby Myers hit him for 100 yards last week. But the problem for Deontay Johnson is Derrick Henry has got massive volume. He leads the NFL in rushing attempts. Zay Flowers is way better than Johnson. And, you know, obviously he knows the offense. Rashad Bateman, Nelson Aguilar didn't die after the trade. They still need to get the ball once in a while. And Lamar Jackson's never proven to be able to feed two wide receivers in any kind of predictable fashion. So we're out on Deontay Johnson.
On the Bengals side of things, Chase Brown has been a guy that's been a reliable player for fantasy owners. Cody actually is one of them. This is a tough matchup, though, for Chase Brown going up against this Ravens defense, who has been horrendous against the pass, but against the run, a solid team. Is Chase Brown a play today or no?
Yeah, I mean, Brown was in a timeshare with Zach Moss, and he was starting to pull away from that timeshare in the past few weeks, and now Moss is hurt and may not play again this year. And then last week, as the solo back, Brown got 100% of the snaps. He rolled up 157 yards in that game and had 32 touches. Now, they brought in Khalil Herbert, and he's going to, you know, mix in a little bit of work, but Zach Taylor, the Bengals head coach, has always been a workhorse guy. Joe Mixon, averaging 19 touches per game over the last 3 years. He's been a top 5 guy in attempts 2 of the last 3 years, and I think that probably continues here. But, Drew, you hit on the big talking point, though, is the Ravens' run defense is just great. They're giving up 58 yards per game. That's it on the ground. This is it's a really, really good run defense and a really bad pass defense. Get this. No back this year against Baltimore has topped 52 yards.
Dang.
That's nothing.
That's not going to get it done fantasy football-wise, as we're talking to Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues and FantasyLife.com. I mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. He was unbelievable in game two, and yet I still think there's more to come in terms of the routes that they're going to allow him to run going forward. Is he kind of in a must-start spot now?
Well, okay. Last week, I know many of you listened to myself and Art on the pregame show.
Yeah.
We extolled the virtues of DeAndre Hopkins because everything was coming together. You had Juju out. That meant that he could slip into the slot and get some extra looks. You're going up against Tampa with this injury-ravaged secondary, no Jamel Dean. You know, we knew they were going to throw, you know, second, third-string cornerbacks on there. So we loved that matchup last week. This is the opposite of that. This is a very good pass defense led by Patrick Surtain. And Surtain is awesome, obviously. He's giving up 1.5 catches per game in his coverage. And if you're Surtain, you know, they will use him when there's one alpha receiver for the opponent. They will have Surtain shadow a lot of that game, and I think that's what's going to happen here. Surtain's physical enough to hang with Hopkins, and he's their best guy. And now I don't know if Juju going to go. I know he didn't practice yesterday.
Practice.
Do we have any hope that he's going to play in this game?
I don't think so, unless he's suddenly practicing today. I would be pretty surprised to see him out there on Sunday at this point.
Yeah, same. And, you know, that might, if Juju doesn't go, that helps Hopkins because he could, at that point, roll into the slot. And that gives him a better matchup because that'll shake him off of Surtain a little bit. So, yeah, I just feel like this is such a harder matchup. I've got him at wide receiver 30 this week, which means, yeah, it's like a flex level play.
Last one for you. Drew and I were stunned to see the stat that Bo Nix is the second best quarterback in the NFL, at least at getting big plays, only behind Lamar Jackson. We're talking about 20-plus yard plays this season. Fantasy football-wise, where does he fit in with some of the weapons there?
Well, okay, first, and I hate to say it, Sean Payton's handling of Bo Nix has been brilliant. You know, they started the season with Bo Nix having him, it was all just short timing dump off stuff. His average pass in the first month of the season for Bo Nix was 4.5 yards. And we were all worried about that because that's what he did in college. We're all like, duh, this is going to be a disaster. The last month, his average pass is now up to 7.5 yards. That's NFL average. And he's looked legitimately so much better. Finding receivers downfield, Cortland Sutton hooking up downfield, and he's generating big plays with his legs. And he's turned into a top 10 fantasy asset over the last month. Quarterback, Bo Nix, it just didn't see it all coming together this fast. God bless him for being there now. Not a great matchup. I don't love the matchup this week in particular because, you know, if I'm your team, it's Trent McDuffie on Cortland Sutton, and I'm going to make Lil Jordan Humphrey beat me. Because, you know, I don't have to tell you guys, Trent McDuffie's great. And I want to take Cortland Sutton out of this offense and, you know, make Adam Trautman and the rest of the guys of his ilk go win. And so I don't love this matchup for Bo Nix, honestly.
Paul Charchian, GuillotineLeagues.com, FantasyLife.com. Appreciate it, man. And I'm sure people in my fantasy football league listening, hearing me ask you about that trade, are going to be thrilled to hear that they think I'm in the wrong for being upset. I still, you told me that the contract news with Hubbard made me feel even worse, though. The fact that to me makes it a way worse trade.
Right, because the thinking on Brooks was you've got next year's starting running back for the Panthers. Now you've got a timeshare running back for the Panthers.
Yep, there you go. Thank you, Charge.
Thanks, Charge.
Bye, guys.
Paul Charchian with us here on Cody and Gold. He's presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Yeah, and since that, during that, the trade has been vetoed, too, at the end they were discussing there.
Good news there.
Vetoed by the commissioner. It's not happening anymore. And that, to me, was one of the worst trades I've seen in a while in fantasy football. I asked Sean Barber about it.
Even worse than me giving you a Christian McCaffrey?
That's season? Guillotine League. That's different. That's a Guillotine League trade. That's a little bit different. Different format.
Yep.
You're playing for 1 year. You also have the ability to still improve your roster when a team gets eliminated. That's a different setup than a normal fantasy football league or whatever. And then, did I even mention the charge in that interview? I don't think I did when I was talking to him about the whole family connection either. The fact that the two people trading with each other are both brothers.
I don't know if you mentioned the charge.
The first charge said, not a great trade, but he didn't care. But then the Hubbard news happened. Anyway, that's a little update on some fancy football for you. I want to give you an update, though, on the Royals end. And we know that the Diamond Sports Group been dealing with bankruptcy, and where are the Royals going to be on television? We know the radio right here on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear the broadcast throughout the season as you have been. But the Royals and Diamond Sports Group have been trying to figure out what the options are, because the Royals could go back to Diamond Sports Group, which was operating Bally's. We know it's not called Bally Sports anymore. It's now FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, or FanDuel Sports Network KC would be the name, as the FanDuel has the rights to the name now. And so the games could end up there. They could obviously sell to rights to a different MLB, could take it in-house. Pete Rathoff over at the KC Star just tweeted out a little while ago that the Royals and Diamond Sports Group are in talks now, and it wouldn't surprise him to see a similar deal for KC to what just happened in St. Louis with the Cardinals. He mentions with sports gambling coming to Missouri, would get FanDuel's name in front of fans during baseball season. Diamond Sports Group and the Cardinals just announced a new multi-year linear and digital rights agreement for the recently renamed FanDuel Sports Network that will continue broadcasting all games with the exception of exclusive televised games nationally. So maybe that's the exact same setup the Royals will have. The Royals haven't announced anything yet. They haven't come to terms with it, but just that was from the Kansas City Star on that. Hey, if the Cardinals are doing this, perhaps that's something that the Royals would look at, and the games could end up being on FanDuel Sports Network. I mean, I get the sports gambling tie-in for FanDuel, but does the deal make sense for the Royals to reach the most people and for it to just be way more accessible than what it was? We've had the complaints. We all hear them. I still think, though, it's very unlikely that ultimately it doesn't result in you still having to pay to reach it. But the problem that a lot of people had was you couldn't get Bally on YouTube TV, which so many people have now. Or yep. That was the problem. The separate app for, what was it, $20 a month or whatever, that was one thing. But give them the option for an add-on on YouTube TV or something. I think that was the biggest concern, because they're not going back. There's a handful of teams that are doing, I think the Diamondbacks were one, where you're just going to over the air be able to watch the games. That's just not the reality of where things are trending. The NFL's not even trending in that direction. Yeah, well, majority of your noon games, right, are going to be on over the air. Chiefs Broncos, you know, that's on what, CBS, I think, or whatever. Okay, that's over the air. But Black Friday game is on Amazon Prime. Thursday night games, Amazon Prime. The one or two playoff games are either on Peacock or ESPN Plus.
Christmas game on Netflix.
There was the ESPN Plus Monday Night Football game with the Chargers and Cardinals a couple weeks ago. Yeah, Drew, you mentioned the Netflix Christmas Day games. Like, that's where this is all trending. So, like, if you're just going to be against any package that requires you to spend a monthly fee, like, you're probably not going to be happy. Like, my issue always had been, hey, I should be able to just get it on my YouTube TV and I can pay an add-on fee or put in part of my sports package or whatever it may be. That's my issue with it. But the idea of, like, hey, I have to pay more to watch the Royals, like, one way or the other, you're going to. It was the accessibility problem. But if your complaint is just that you want to flip on the bunny ears and listen, watch the game, this isn't 1999 anymore.
It was being, like, I think your point exactly about the accessibility of it's having to go off of YouTube TV to go to a different place to watch the game. That's where it gets frustrating. Where, yeah, if you just pop it in as an add-on, then you don't have a problem going from the Royals game to, I don't know, a Chiefs preseason game if you really wanted to watch it. Or I don't know if you'd be able to split box baseball and football, but you normally can do that. So I think there's that should be the thing, where if you can have it with your regular setup for YouTube TV or whatever the case is, because I have YouTube TV as well, it makes it more accessible and easier to use instead of having to switch different apps and go to, you know, it makes it more
the
complicated.
Separate app thing. Look, if they want to offer their own separate app, totally get it. But give me the ability. Someone just texted in, they said they pay for DirecTV. They feel there should be a channel on that package. Yeah, I mean, that's whether DirecTV or YouTube TV, etc. Find a way to where, even if I have to pay an extra $9.99 a month to have it on my YouTube TV or whatever.
Didn't it used to be that way?
Let me watch it. Go back to, like, the Fox, I believe when it was Fox Sports.
Fox affiliate,
or
yeah.
So we'll see. But all the FanDuel networks have already switched to Fan. Like, they've already switched the naming and everything over. You probably have seen that, especially during NBA for if you watch the Thunder games or whatever. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Someone from the text line 913-586-7965 says, Why could the Royals win for their own network, like the YES Network, 545 different owners, like, et cetera, and do it right? Well, let's just be real. The Yes Network, that RSTN Day thing, like that's right. Yankees can do it because of the New York Yankees and the financial reach. Yeah, it's the New York media New York media market versus the Kansas City media market. I mean, deep down, I would rather Major League Baseball, honestly, just take in all the production of it if you want to know the truth. I'd rather Major League Baseball operate the networks in the blackouts and operate the regional networks, but have it under one umbrella. Get rid of the blackouts. Let me use MLB TV that I, you know, if you're a T-Mobile customer, you get it for free, but otherwise you're paying for MLB.TV. I can get it on my Fire Stick TV at home or whatever it may be, or Apple TV, whatever you're using. Let me have that without blackouts. Yeah, that's like my dream scenario. Or somehow in the future it's on Amazon and it goes in your Amazon Prime membership. You're already paying either the monthly or you're paying the $100+ a year, and either the rate goes up or it's included in my membership, you know. But even Apple TV, when MLS games are on Apple TV, that's an additional cost.
That would be the ultimate win, is if it were on Amazon Prime and they don't switch your subscription at all. Somebody said, I'm still not paying $20 a month for Rose games, charge $5, and I'd pay it. I don't pay for ESPN Plus, and I'm a big KU fan. You know, to each their own. I think it makes it easier where if you already have the service, then it makes it, I guess, in terms of accessibility, in terms of ease, and it does make it a lot easier if you've already got Amazon Prime and all the games are on Amazon Prime. It makes it more convenient, obviously, than having to go to a whole new app, and especially if you have to pay $20 extra a month. But I don't know how much an add-on would be, $10 a month.
Yeah, I just hope they find out, can they expand their reach? If they're going to re-up with Diamond Sports Group and what is now going to be called the, you know, FanDuel Sports Network KC or whatever, can they find a way to just get it on these other services? Because, look, I think there is a large chunk of Royals fans that just, and understandably so, I'm not criticizing, but just like don't want to pay anything extra. Mm-hmm. Who does, right? And then there's some that are willing to pay, I don't even know the dollar amount, right? $9.99, $7.99, whatever. But they want to have the ability to access it on their service they already have. That's where I'm at. Like, I recognize I'm probably going to have to pay extra to watch Royals games, but let me have it through my service. YouTube TV is, for example, what I use. That's my biggest mm-hmm. issue. And not only have it on the Bally Sport app or now whatever it's actually going to be. That'll be interesting to follow. We'll keep an eye on this. Just a little bit of news because the Cardinals re-up with Diamond Sports Group. You're laughing about something on the text line. What was it?
Somebody said from the 913, are those headphones taped? Do we need to donate to the show?
Wait, are you? What's up with your? Oh, yeah. Do you have duct tape on your headphones over there?
You know, my headphones.
I can't see because you're across. For those of you, we're in the studio. Drew's in the producer room across in the glass. The reflection, sometimes you can't see.
My headphones have been like this for about a month now.
We got to get you some new headphones.
A month and a half where they still work. The thread, I thought it was one of those things where, you know, it's on your clothes.
We can't be having you out. You're on camera, too. We can't be having you with duct tape headphones.
The foam is popping out. I've had the headphones taped for a while now.
We got it. The ones I'm using, I've had for 2 years. They've been, they're from Amazon. And they were like $35 headphones, okay? And they've lasted, and they're fine. I think Dusty bought the same ones
These have been good. It's just that there was a loose string where like the threading on it
How long have you
off.
Had those?
I've had these for 4 years now.
It's time. We got to get you some headphones. Go on Amazon. There's something like $30. Let's get some.
You can have it from looking at the
people
stream.
People watching
I'm
you on video
that you can actually see the tape on there. But yes,
I didn't notice it until the text line brought it up.
Tape's been falling.
I can't
off
now. Long, I told yeah. now I clearly can see the difference on the left side versus the right side.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Let's get you some new headphones. I think we need We don't need to do the Venmo thing if you don't want. But
we
need $9.65 heroes.
I'm not asking you to send me any money. If you decide to send some. Sure, I'll take it, but please. I'm not asking
you. See this? Sean Barber's still hanging around in studio, even though he's not out. Here, you're still here. Nobody can hear you talking right now.
If you want to, hop on the mic.
Nobody can hear you. Barber's just hanging out because he wants to hang out.
I'm doing work, man. Answering the emails. Like, listen, the McGinnis Group doesn't pay me to get on the radio.
His headphones were broken. Did you? They're all duct taped up, man.
All I'm saying is you're telling him to get online and spend money on some earphones. I think he needs to get online and buy that $59.59 gift card before the mirror. So don't let me come
Let him get
here.
The headphones first before he pays you back.
Why would I do that? Why
because
would,
how future income's dependent on his job, you know? He's got to have the right headphones.
Barber
$9.65 heroes.
Barber said that in the playoffs, Dusty has a bet from the playoffs. So he should be going after you. Should be going after Dusty.
Crown Jewel.
Point one. You should be going after Dusty.
Don't be throwing Crown Jewel in front of you. You're like, don't be throwing nobody in front of the, under the bus in front of you, bro.
Hey, somebody said on the text line earlier his name rhymes with Musty. That wasn't me. No, somebody on the text line.
Yeah, we got, okay. You don't want to do the $9.65 hero. That's fine.
If they want to send me, if they want to Venmo me money, Venmo me money.
We don't need what? $40 for these headphones, $50 for these headphones or something. We just got to get you some new headphones, one way or the other. All right, up next. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. Then I want to get back into where this Chiefs defensive line is going to be tested. Surprisingly, the Broncos O-line in a few areas has been better than we thought. We'll talk a little bit about that next.
What's trending?
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending? Presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending, we got an update on the injury status for a couple players with the Chiefs. Juju Smith-Schuster and Tershawn Ward not expected to practice today. That's a couple days in a row, and even the fact that it's a Thursday, I think you guys can obviously tell, it looks like neither is likely to play on Sunday against the Broncos. It'd be a couple games in a row now for Juju, but they did not put him on IR, so you would think that they're maybe getting this thing right for the Bills game next week, and no need to rush the hamstring injury with the way the team's playing, knowing that it's a long season, this team's going to be in the playoffs. The Turk Warden one, obviously don't like seeing that, but it's called a knee contusion is what they're calling it. Good news is Mike Dana, Nazi Johnson, both expected and back at practice. It'll be two straight days of practice for them. Next up on What's Trending, Thursday Night Football tonight, Cincinnati, Baltimore, in Baltimore. Big time game. We'll probably talk a little bit more about this after What's Trending as well. But an opportunity to kind of end this thing, if you're Baltimore with Cincy, an opportunity for Cincy to get to 500, and all of a sudden people will really, you think people are talking themselves into Cincy now. Oh boy, it'll be obnoxious. Be obnoxious, Drew, if Cincinnati wins tonight. Next on What's Trending, injuries in the NFL. Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence dealing with a left shoulder injury. Ian Rappaport reporting that he's getting treatment, weighing options for the future, source telling him that he is now considered unlikely to play Sunday against the Vikings. That is what's trending on Cody and Gold. Thanks again to Sean Barber for joining us in the studio.
It's always fun to have him. Always good to see Barber.
He couldn't believe I was telling him as we were discussing your headphones. Being ripped and how you need new headphones because you're using duct tape. He couldn't believe that when he saw them. But then also, we were joking about the listeners helping you for the suit and stuff. And our listeners are obviously very, very supportive. And we appreciate that. They are the best. And he didn't understand what we meant by the $9.65 heroes and the $6.10 heroes. And I was like, wow, we used to call them $6.10 heroes because $6.10 Venmo account for Drew. And now they're $9.65 heroes. And then I explained to him the couch story. And you should have seen the look. Guys, you should have seen the look on Sean Barber's face. Some of you are new listeners now that we're on 96.5, so you weren't around when we had the couch story. Yeah, well, it relates to your current situation with the headphones.
It does.
And there was a time when Drew was moving out. Thank goodness got out of that apartment. We also were discussing that a lot on the air at the time. You got out of your apartment when you were going to get a new couch, right? So you had an old couch, and you put it on Facebook Marketplace, didn't you?
I did.
Uh-huh. And Barbara's like, yeah, that makes sense. I go, no. No, just wait.
Never again.
No. Someone offered to buy Drew's couch, as we know, for how much initially?
I don't even remember what it was, to be honest.
$100, $200?
$200.
$200, we'll call it. And I explained to him.
It was more than that, actually, I think. But anyways.
I explained to him that you, for your couch, Venmo'd the person that was buying your couch. As in, you were selling an item and you paid someone for your own item.
Take my couch.
And Sean Barber covered his face and couldn't believe that that happened. I said, oh, yeah, we couldn't either at the time. I bring that back up today because the listeners stepped up then. Someone brought up a good point. We actually should make Cody sell the box that I said we should never have bought as a show since we weren't going to sell it.
People who have said they would buy things. I wonder if Cody actually
I think someone tomorrow suggests they might buy the box of crap for $200.
Oh.
They're saying we should use the show fund to buy you headphones, and I actually agree. So whatever money we get from that box, I know Cody's not here today, and he's going to be back tomorrow. We'll talk with him. It's a show decision. But I think we should use the show fund to get you a new pair of headphones since, you know, it's needed to do the show.
Funny enough, a new pair of headphones is on my Christmas list.
All right, so how nice are these headphones? I'm just talking about getting some headphones just
these
to get you some headphones.
These headphones are $45.
Okay, let's do that. The show will take care of your headphone situation. Whether it's the show phone funder or Cody and I or whatever, we got to get you the headphone situation.
We got
duct tape. Come on. And we're on video. We don't need you having duct tape on the headphones.
This is the first time that I've been on video this much. So, in fact, again.
Well, you've been kind of co-hosting a little bit more today.
It's a little bit darker. I'm surprised you can see the tape. I did show you, because you hadn't seen it before, obviously. And you're like, oh, yeah, all right, this is terrible. It is tough.
Someone says, can I buy a Cody and Gold t-shirt? We do not have any for sale. When we first started the show back in 2020, we bought some shirts. We handed a bunch out. There's like four or five left, maybe somewhere around here. As far as buying them, no. We're hoping to do another t-shirt release for our show. Now, the station shirts, next time we have public events, sometimes we have the new 96.5, the fan shirts you've seen us wearing. Those you might be able to just get. If you guys went to the Royals watch parties we did at Jefferson's, we handed out t-shirts there. As far as the actual Cody and Gold ones, as a work in progress, we'd like to do another release of Cody and Gold t-shirts.
Someone said, what? I'm about to scratch off a $10 scratcher. If I win, it will go towards the headphones.
Okay.
Okay. You're very generous of you.
Let us know. Let us know how that goes. But no. All right. We'll figure that out. And appreciate the listeners, as always, on that. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Broncos on Sunday. One thing we were looking at was their offensive line, surprisingly, admittedly, in at least one area, they're the second best offensive line when it comes to pass protection. Some of the pass protection composite grades that are out there, and basically pass block grades of tackles, guard, center. And this is talking about just true pass sets only. But the Colts were number one on this. The Broncos were number two. And if you were wondering, the Chiefs were number six. The reason why I think it's interesting is this is a really good test for the Chiefs front four. Yes, front seven, but the four defensive linemen not having a blitz. And that would be because if you look at who the Chiefs have faced, their opponents, nobody's been as high as where the Broncos are for this conversation, offensive line-wise. The Ravens are now fifth. That'd be the closest. The Niners were 10th. The Bucks were 12th. Raiders 13th. Who else do they play here? Falcons were 18th. Cincinnati 19th. Chargers 20th. That's where it ranks. So this would be, by this metric, and it's not an end-all be-all, but by this metric, the Broncos will be the best offensive line in this area that the Chiefs are going to face all season. And Bo Nix is mobile as well, coupled with that. So I think this is a really good test to judge, especially with Mike Dana coming back. Even if you're not going to have Turk Warden, it looks like that's a loss. But Mike Dana, George Karloftis, who we didn't get to that conversation today, but George Karloftis has been really, really turning it on here the last couple weeks. He's got four sacks on the season, but he's been much better, I think, the last few weeks. And so what does that front four do on the defensive line? We know Spags can manufacture the blitz. That's part of his MO, his style, what makes him great, disguising blitzes. They can blitz, and I imagine they will, because surprisingly, Bo Nix, other than Lamar Jackson, has more explosive plays of 20 or more than any other quarterback in the NFL. How do you limit that? I'm not worried about them truly winning one-on-one matchups with the Chiefs corners, even with the corner situation. Certainly not with Trent McDuffie on Cortland Sutton at times. But tight ends, wide receiver screens, running backs in the flat, that's the area where I think the Broncos will try to have success with Bo Nix, getting him out, bootlegs, play action. And so I think this will be an area, if you think this ends up being a really close game, and we know the Chiefs typically play close games anyway, but if it's going to be like last year where you think the Chiefs will make a mistake against the Broncos and all of a sudden the Broncos upset Kansas City and snap that, what was it, 16-game losing streak Denver had to the Chiefs going back to the Peyton Manning days in Denver, I think the Chiefs are going to have to get pressure. Let's see how they do it. Can they do that without having to blitz? That's always the name of the game. Can they do that without having to blitz? I know they can blitz, but can they do it without having to do that?
Yeah, if you're able to get it to four, I think that with four, it makes it obviously a lot easier. I think, you know, in a way, based on how you're saying it, it's not how we're going to judge the defense going forward, but or the defensive line going forward, but it's a benchmark test for, oh, okay, against this sort of pass protection, can you generate pressure without having to blitz? And, you know, when you obviously you learn stuff about your team throughout the season and as it goes on, this is just another one of those tests where you shouldn't lose the game. This is an individual position group look of, hey, can Chris Jones, can George Karlaftis, and the rest of the defensive line find a way to generate that pressure without having to bring anybody extra? And I wonder, just going forward, obviously they're not able to make any moves, you know, because the trade deadline is passed, but you right. know you're getting a Menahu back. You know, you've got Uche, obviously, as well. A lot of people are excited to continue to see him as he progresses in his time as a Chief. But I wonder if this is, the way you're saying it is more like this is a benchmark.
Yeah, it's a good test.
For learning halfway through the season, where does this defensive line stand in its own right having to get help? Maybe.
In this metric, they're listed better than the 49ers, but the 49ers were also a good test. Trent Williams, obviously, a future Hall of Fame left tackle, as you were like talking about. Like they've had that test, but overall, and it's just a grading system, it's not as a perfect science. This would say in true pass set grades, the Broncos are the second best in football.
Definitely. That in and of itself, along with the...
And this is PFF, right? This is Pro Football Focus. We joke about them all the time, but that's where this is coming from.
That along with the big play thing is interesting. Just to have those two, I guess, meshed together, where we see Bo Nix's ability to avoid sacks, and is the pressure, or is the offensive line really that good? Like, what all goes into the grades, obviously, sacks a lot, pressures a lot, and all that other stuff makes it interesting. I just think if they do bring pressure, I don't, and they have success, or say they're not able to get there with four as often, we'll just see how much pressure they can put, because if they're not getting sacks, but they're getting to Bo Nix and they're collapsing the pocket and making him feel uncomfortable, that is as much of a win, I think, as actually getting to Bo Nix and bringing him down.
All right, tonight, Thursday night football.
Let's go.
Cincinnati. Mm-mm-mm. Baltimore. In Baltimore, Ravens 5.5, 6-point favorites, depending on where you look. Cincy was as much as 6.5-point dogs last night. Talked about this game on my betting show. If you missed that, you can check it out. Our Odyssey app, of course, wherever you get your podcasts as well, every Wednesday night, 6-7. One, I think it's going to be a really good game, so I'm just excited for that. We've had a good run of Thursday night games. This will be the third week in a row I think we have a really compelling game. Last week it was Jets-Texans. Turned out to be a really fun game, right? Garrett Wilson had an unbelievable catch. Jets, I won't say upset because they were favorites, but for some people, the Jets upset the Texans. That's how most people would perceive it. The week before was that Rams-Vikings game. So it's been a good stretch of games. I think that continues tonight. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you're saying, why should I watch? One, it's a good football game, but it has implications for you. If Baltimore wins, don't be surprised if the national narrative picks back up about where they are as a team and, oh my gosh, look out for them kind of stuff. Don't be worried about the one seed. Like I think it's foolish for anybody to try to convince you that, oh, if the Ravens win, you know, that's not good because, you know, the one seed, the Ravens are not going to be the one seed, guys. I thought we knew this a week or so ago. They're just not. The tiebreakers, the head-to-head tiebreaker, the math on the losses, unless you think Kansas City's dropping like four games here pretty soon or something. Like, it's just not going to happen. The number one seed conversation is the Chiefs and the Bills, in my opinion, but you can add in Pittsburgh just because the record. So Chiefs, Steelers, Bills. That is it. That is it for the number one seed. Baltimore is not getting the one seed. Texans, to me, are not getting the one seed. Look how they're playing. I think they're going to lose the Lions on Sunday and drop another one. So that's why you're okay, in my opinion, with having Baltimore win this game. Then, on the other side, your Cincinnati Bengals, Drew. If you guys win tonight, suddenly you're 500. and I'm sure you guys are all thinking you're fine and you're fixed and you're good to go. Baltimore needs to bury Cincinnati and just end this thing tonight. Eliminate a team from the playoff conversation altogether, please. Just be done with it.
You're begging them.
Yes. And I also think Baltimore's just a better team.
I think Dusty might be bolder than I am. He might be bolder than I am.
If they beat Baltimore tonight, they will win that division.
Okay. Look, everybody has a take. That's fine. Everybody has an opinion. I don't believe that to be the case. Baltimore already beat Cincy once. So even if Cincinnati wins, it's a split. So it's not like Cincy suddenly has that tiebreaker. It's not like they're going for the sweep. Then I would understand that comment more. They would be split, worst case scenario. And it's just not a it just doesn't just happen by accident that you are a 4-win football team right now if you're Cincy. But I do understand if they win tonight, I expect Dusty and national people all to be saying, oh, here come the Bengals, and it's going to be disgusting.
I do think it is interesting. The Steelers have not played one division game.
Their schedule is going to get really tough. That's why, to me, it's a Chiefs-Bills conversation.
Yeah, I agree. In terms of the one seed, it's only those two. If the Bengals win, then, yeah, I think you're going to see more of the, oh, I don't know about these Bengals. They might, you know, in terms of they were having conversation nationally about who's the biggest threat to the Chiefs. Obviously, people will say the Ravens and the Bills, but they all of a sudden enter that conversation once again. It's all going to depend on how the defense plays as to whether or not they make the playoffs or not, in my opinion.
Sure. Here's the... Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, because Joe Burrow, at this point, has got the offense clicking in a way that they're a playoff football team. He's playing at an MVP caliber level, but the defense, to the point that you and Cody have brought up, has not been good enough. That's why they're four. That's why they're in the position they're in right now.
Schedule just for both teams real quick, just to lay it out there. So, of course, they're playing each other tonight. Baltimore then goes to Pittsburgh after this. So they go from a game against Cincy to Pittsburgh. I mean, two brutal games back-to-back. Then Chargers, Eagles, Giants, Steelers again at home, at the Texans hosting the Browns. That's the next remaining games for the Baltimore Ravens. On the flip side, in Cincinnati, what do they have? Obviously, Baltimore tonight. Then they go to LA to play the Chargers. They host the Steelers, go to Dallas, who probably won't have Dak, go to Tennessee, host Cleveland, host Denver, and the last week of the season at Pittsburgh, which could decide whether Cincinnati's in the playoffs or not if they win tonight. Can we get one thing on the record? If Cincy loses tonight, will you admit that it's just not going to happen for you?
I don't know.
Season?
I'm looking at the schedule.
You think if Cincy gets to 4-6 and swept by the Baltimore Ravens, if that happens,
if they're 4-6, they have to go 5-2 the rest of the way to make the playoffs. I think 9-8, based on what we've seen,
9-8.
No, hold on. That's the thing. If they make the playoffs, if they go 9-8, and they make the playoffs, the season's reset. I think 9-8, based on what we've seen right now, I don't think it's crazy to say that right now. If you look right now, the Colts are 4-5. They're the 8. The Broncos are 5-4. They're the 7. The Broncos schedule gets tougher.
It does. And I think, in fairness, I think the Broncos will not make the playoffs either. I think it's the Colts, Chargers, and Ravens wild card.
I think the Colts schedule is lighter. The Chargers, their remaining schedule.
They're just better, though.
After Tennessee, they have the Bengals, the Ravens, the Falcons, the Chiefs, the Buccaneers. 9 games might get you in as the 7th seed. So I don't think it's out of the question to say they finish 5-2 even after losing this game that they potentially make it. Mac today,
it's crazy,
told me
that
he thinks
though,
the Bengals lose, but they can still make the playoffs.
I just think it's amazing how it must just be still that 2 years ago or that we all acknowledge that Joe Burrow, of course, we all agree is very, very good. It must just be like the thought, like this magically, the defense won't matter. Their defense is so bad, though. There's a reason why they're where they're at. If they get to 4-6, they have to win 2 in a row just to get to 500. I don't, and this is a divisional game too.
I think the situation is the exact same as what Joe Burrow said when they played the Ravens last, that he has to be damn near perfect. That's what he said. I got to be damn near perfect to win football games because the defense stinks.
Yeah, like how many AFC North teams made the playoffs last year? Just 2, right?
Yes.
Or 3. Cleveland, Baltimore.
Okay, that's right, Cleveland. Yeah, 3? It was 3.
So 3 obviously can make it. But right now, the Ravens or Steelers, to me, are winning the division. So however you want to arrange it, if you think ultimately Baltimore wins the division, fine. Okay, so Baltimore wins the division. Pittsburgh's then the wild card. I think the wild card's going to be Pittsburgh in this scenario. along with the Colts and Chargers. Hell, the Jets might be, you want to talk schedule, they might be better positioned than Cincy to get it, Drew, if your Bengals lose tonight. Yeah, that's schedule, all. Yeah, if they I win, I'll hear you and I'll understand. If they win, I get you'll feel a lot better, but just, I'm excited, just don't think for they're tonight. That good.
I'm excited for tonight, baby.
All right, enjoy the game tonight. We're back at it tomorrow. I believe Cody will be back with us tomorrow as well. For now, we hand things off to CDOT and Rob on the drive. I think I'm calling into their show at 2:30 to talk some sports betting.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.